Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint Reach.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, November 13th, 2018, your daily source for esports and video game discussion. I want to thank everyone listening on WEJS 1600 in Williamsport and Sports Radio 100.9 and 1070 in Madison, Wisconsin. Coming up today on Checkpoint, Joe has returned to the show, so we'll find out about all the action out at the Rocket League Championship Series. Plus, we'll check out a conversation with Josh Watts, an esports operation manager for Psyonix. Those conversations are ahead here this hour here on Checkpoint. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
Gaming Update with Joe Sloan.
All right, some not so good news for Riot as their situation with gender inequality continues to be a problem. While we haven't heard a lot on whether the situation is improving, we learned last week that a class action lawsuit has been filed against the company for gender discrimination and lost wages. When we know more about whether the situation is actually improving at Riot, we will let you know.
You know, this is obviously not good for Riot, but I have to say, with not having any news on whether or not it's improving, I'm glad to see that no one's letting this go. Like, they're still being held accountable until something does get done.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the most important thing, is it's too easy a lot of the time for stories like these to just kind of fall by the wayside once the initial, you know, blowback happens.
Once they say, oh, we're totally going to fix it, don't worry, we're on it, and then people just let it drift away.
Been a good year so far for Astralis, and now they've notched yet another win. Their CSGO team marched into IEM Chicago and decimated Team Liquid in the finals. The sweep came after Astralis won three maps in convincing fashion, and that marks their sixth tournament win of 2018.
So here's the thing with Astralis. We talk so much about Cloud9 and their dominance as an organization. Something has to be said for Astralis's total domination of CSGO.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reason I think you talk a lot about Cloud9 is because almost no matter what esport you follow, you're forced to talk about them, whereas if you don't follow CSGO or maybe Dota 2 to a lesser extent, you could easily not know who Astralis is. They show up in a PUBG tournament and you're like, wait, who are they? Have they been around for a minute? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Turner Tenney, better known as Tfue, was the target of an alleged swatting attempt last Friday. The professional Fortnite player was midstream when two police officers knocked at his door, responding to a claim that someone had broken in. Thankfully, the situation was defused, and Tfue went on to win a game shortly thereafter.
This also points out something about that's really important about the police reaction as well. The fact that, you know, it wasn't responded to as like an inherently hostile situation. They didn't come in guns drawn.
Right.
Those are all going to be very important factors for the way that these kind of situations resolve. Fortunately, this one resolved just fine, but you know, this is such a hard, difficult thing for both sides of the fence. Like, what does Twitch do about swatting? What do cops do about swatting? I don't know that there's an easy answer, but I'm just really thankful that this was a, you know, that this didn't turn out worse.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. If you look at it from the police perspective on it, if they don't treat it like something super seriously and someone gets killed because of it, there's an outrage over that. If they treat it too seriously and someone gets killed, there's an outrage. Like, it's a very difficult line to walk.
Exactly. To commend Tfue going right back to streaming. I feel like if this were to happen to me, I mean, I realize, you know, professional and all, but if this were to happen to me, like police come knocking on the door or barging in, I don't know that I'm able to sit back down and stream after something like that.
I agree. I think my night would be done at that point.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Red Bull Kumite went down over the weekend in Paris, with Fujimura of Japan taking top honors, beating EVO 2018 champion Problem X. His run in the Invitational included sweeps over former EVO champ Daigo and FGC vet Filipino champ, with its closest match being a 2-1 victory over another former EVO winner in Luffy.
I mean, like, let me explain something to you guys about Red Bull Kumite, right? This is one of the most fun events in the FGC to watch every year, right? Because they allow like the WWE style entrances where they come down the ramp and
nice.
Do all sorts of crazy
stuff. Sort of like what they do at
poses.
CEO.
Yeah, exactly. But to speak about Fujimura, this guy has been so good, and he plays the best Ibuki I have ever seen in my entire life. I thought Jian's Ibuki was great. Nah, Fujimura is on a whole nother level. He beat 3 Evo champions in one tournament.
Wow.
At Red Bull Kumite. It was great.
Dr. Disrespect's Code Red Fortnite tournament came to a close with the duo Hamlins and Reverse 2K taking home most of the $20,000 prize pool. Interestingly, the competition did not have a special lobby, so players had to join as a squad of 4, and the duo with the most eliminations moved on.
How?
This is so janky,
how?
Bro.
How, Sway? How does that happen? I do not understand.
Did not see that coming.
Like, Dr. Disrespect is, I don't know, in there in the upper echelon of streamers on Twitch.
Totally.
How do you have something co-signed by him that goes that sideways?
Yeah, that's a little janky by like any standard. Like if I put on a tournament tomorrow, that might be a problem that I would have.
Right, yeah, exactly. But you would think that like this is Dr. Disrespect. Like what? Epic couldn't figure out how to do a custom lobby for him?
Yeah. Exactly. Toronto Esports have been serving as the academy team for the Boston Uprising. However, in the wake of the Toronto Defiant revealing their branding, Blizzard acquired Toronto Esports to change their name since the Defiant owned exclusive naming rights to Toronto. Shortly after, Toronto Esports tweeted that they were leaving Overwatch immediately, and good riddance. All players and staff are being retained by the Uprising and will be rebranded.
See, this is ridiculous because you're already entrenched in one of the most lucrative esports that there is, one of the biggest brands that there is. And yes, there are some people who are going to have to rebrand. All of these teams had to come up with new branding. All of them.
Why not use this as as your chance to rebrand to be more in line with the team that you're an academy for, Boston?
Their whole thing is, we were Toronto Esports before Overwatch was a thing, and therefore we should still be Toronto Esports.
Yeah, but Cloud9 had to call themselves the London Spitfire.
Exactly.
Where do you get off trying to go, no, I should still be Toronto Gaming?
And you know what? And when they see those endorsement checks coming through from Toyota and Allstate and Geico and all those other non-endemic brands with the money to spend, yeah, they'll be feeling a little salty wondering why we didn't change our name to, I don't know, Young or North Canada Esports or something.
Like, this is really just cutting your nose off to spite your face. Like, this is not going to end up going well for them.
Twitch is looking to expand its Twitch Rivals platform next year. The platform held 55 esports tournaments this year, totaling over $2 million in prize money. Next year, they're looking to expand to over 100 events, branching many more games. One thing they're looking to retain, however, is the more casual level of competition than, say, something like OWL or NALCS.
I think that's really cool. Yeah, I think that there needs to be a space for tournaments like that. Like, not everything has to be super serious all the time. So,
totally.
Yeah.
That's all for the Checkpoint Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. This week saw the 3rd annual esports awards that were held at the brewery in London. Since this falls right in our wheelhouse, we'd figure we'd, you know, give you the most important results.
Yeah, because there were a lot of results in there, and I'm sorry, I understand that, you know, best videographer is an important thing, but I would never have known anyone.
The only point is, we didn't win Esports Journalist of the Year. And this whole thing is a Travis Sham mockery.
Like, the fact that we didn't even get invited
is ridiculous.
I feel slighted.
I've been to London, okay? I don't think it's
about whether you've been to London.
They've seen my face. They know who we are.
Only people who've been in the Eastern Hemisphere get to compete.
It's not like, yeah, you get to go once and then you can just get, they let you go all the time.
That's what I told the rules were. That's what I was told.
No, that's not at all how it works.
Oh.
Well, how about Breakthrough Game of the Year going to Fortnite?
That's fair.
Okay, yeah. No, I can't argue with that one.
Anyone upset with Streamer of the Year going to Ninja?
Also fair.
Nope.
I mean,
who else does it go to?
Like, yeah, honestly, like,
it'd be
that's
hard to argue, right?
Yeah, totally.
PC Player of the Year going to Simple, whereas Rookie of the Year, I wanted to mention this one, goes to Bwipo, a Fnatic League of Legends player, their top laner, in fact. Yes. The man is a rookie, and Fnatic gets to go to the finals in League of Legends.
That's fair.
All right. I know you're all going to disagree with this one. Organization of the Year goes to Cloud9.
Yeah.
That's
easily.
Who else does it go to?
Yeah, like,
who's the close second there?
Nobody.
Yeah, no, just leave it at silence.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Cloud Nine, and then who knows?
Yeah, I honestly think that this is very well deserved for them, and anyone else in that spot would have looked very suspect.
Team of the year does go to Astralis.
I agree with that.
Yeah, you win 6 tournaments in a year. I get that.
You don't watch CSGO?
I understand I don't watch CSGO, but a lot of other people don't watch CSGO, and that was my point, is that CSGO hasn't been the most popular esport in a long time.
I agree. I think
it hasn't even led the charge in shooters in a long time.
But what it benefits from is it goes year-round, whereas other esports have typically only take a portion of the season.
That's true. I'm just saying, the last time it was relevant, I was holding down an academic year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's been that long.
Yeah.
Game of the year goes to Overwatch, and Publisher of the year goes to Blizzard Entertainment.
Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hard to argue otherwise.
Totally.
All right, I love this one. Streaming platform of the year goes to Twitch.
What
about Mixer, guys?
Mixer and what else? YouTube?
Caffeine?
Oh, I forgot about caffeine.
Everyone forgot about caffeine.
And last but not least, live event of the year going to the Overwatch League Grand Finals. You know what?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll let you two speak to that.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was great. That event had no hiccups. It had none of the usual security.
And Barclay was packed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Did you watch the Esports Awards? Why do you think that Checkpoint should have been a part of them? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, we'll get the lowdown from Joe on the Rocket League Championship Series. Plus, we'll check out a conversation with Josh Watts, an Esports Operations Manager for Psyonix. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
The maker of everyone's favorite strategy guides is on the way out. We'll tell you who.
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we'll talk about all the action that went down at this year's Rocket League Championship Series. Plus, we'll check out an interview that Joe did with Josh Watson, Esports Operations Manager with Psyonix. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointRadio.com.
Longtime classic gaming strategy guide maker Prima Games is shutting down.
Aww.
I know. In a memo, the CEO of parent company DK, Ian Hudson, said the dynamics for us in this fast-paced landscape have continued to prove difficult. The company will start closing offices this month with discontinuation expected by spring of 2019.
Who was buying strategy guides in the era of Wiki?
Apparently no one.
That's fair.
My girlfriend. She buys
no.
The guide. She does.
Oh, really?
She does.
I remember when that was part of the ritual. Like, you go to Funko Land, you buy the game, you get the book that comes with the game.
When we picked up Red Dead, she's like, can you grab the strategy guide too? And I'm like,
that thing's probably $80 for everything that's in Red Dead.
Side note too. 4 years ago, Prima Games actually absorbed Brady Games. So
sure did.
They're gone too.
Oh, Brady Games. I was actually just about to say, at least Brady Games.
No.
The only strategy guides I've ever actually gotten were the ones that came in like with Nintendo Power, because you would get a strategy guide with your subscription. Mm. I never bought strategy guides.
I had a few.
I had the FF11 one.
Yeah,
Everyone had that one.
Yeah, I had the FF11.
That's
Brady
in here
Games.
Somewhere.
Yeah, it is. I can't remember what the last strategy guide I bought was.
I think that was the last one I did buy.
11?
Yeah. It was so trash that I just never bought another one.
Yeah, I don't think I ever. I went back for the Atlas, but at that point, it was just sort of like, because I was buying anything FF11.
Right.
Yeah.
In an interview with CNBC's Jim Cramer, Take-Two Interactive CEO Strauss Zelnick stated that the 17 million units of Red Dead Redemption 2 sold surpasses the total sales of the original game, stating that in 8 days, the game outsold its predecessor of 8 years. Ooh. Zelnick went on to say it exceeded even the expectations of Take-Two themselves.
Wow.
That's a lot of copies moved.
That's a lot of money.
That is. I mean, it is a unreasonably popular game at the moment,
and
right?
I literally cannot, I can't emphasize this enough. This game doesn't have its online component out yet. Once they put that out and all the microtrans that come with it, oh, baby, they about to make so much money.
Is there for sure an online element to Red Dead 2 coming?
Yes. Oh,
okay, all right. I didn't know.
Achievements
I didn't
online
know,
only.
Oh, okay, I didn't know if Take 2 had actually confirmed it.
Oh, so. Yeah, it's coming.
No, but I mean, congratulations go out to Rockstar. That's obviously huge for them. I think it's telling that in the same week that Fallout 76 launches, that there are people still actively choosing to just play Red Dead instead. So, you know, I think that speaks volumes for itself.
In response to complaints, Nintendo has announced they'll be removing the Native American reference from the Mr. Game & Watch character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Nintendo has said the decades-old depiction does not reflect their current values and apologizes that the change was not reflected in the marketing material.
That was pretty smart.
It was really the only choice that they had to make.
Pretty much.
Yeah. For those of you who had hoped Life is Strange 2 would continue Max and Chloe's story, there may be some good news. While the game is telling another story, a new comic series is set to continue the tale of our heroines from the first game. It's being distributed by Titan Comics, and the first issue is out now. I'm excited for this. I'm happy that they're choosing to continue their story, but this is the proper format to do it in. I get why they didn't want to continue doing it with the video game, and they say up front, this is not establishing any kind of canon beyond the game.
That's good.
What would have happened if you picked this ending. This is the continuation of that ending.
It's still kind of a hypothetical.
Exactly.
I see. So, I know that you had some concerns about the publisher who was doing it.
Yeah, I do. So Titan Comics is not my favorite comic publisher. They do things like the Doctor Who comic, the Assassin's Creed comic, and the Dark Souls comic was their biggest sin. That was awful. I don't like a lot of their comics, so I'm hopeful this is good. I do like the artist and the writer for this, though.
The art is impeccable.
Yeah, it's really good.
Everything in terms of art that I've seen out of this game has looked really, really good.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is finally coming to the PlayStation 4, a new trailer has revealed. More than a year after the game's release for Xbox, PUBG is finally set to come to PS4 on December the 7th with all three maps ready to play.
I actually might pick this up.
Controller? For how much, though?
$60.
Ooh! Never mind. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they gotta be kidding,
man,
bro.
Man, you shut him down quicker than he dies in PUBG.
They gotta be kidding.
Well, the reason I wanted to check it out on PS4 is because the skill gap is not gonna be as high, and I might actually have a chance.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I'm sorry. Pre-orders are ranging, bundles are ranging from $30 to $60, so there's a $30 mode as well. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, my apologies.
$30. I ain't buying it for $60.
Yeah, I was gonna say I would buy it for $30, but I didn't think that was even a $60 game on PC.
No, it's not. Yep, that's correct. For those who completed the first Spider-Man DLC and can't wait to find out what happened with the cliffhanger ending, good news. Yes. The second DLC, Turf Wars, is scheduled to release on November the 20th.
Like, I understand there's some new spider suits, too.
There will be.
They showed off some new spider suits.
Like the heist, the $10 DLC will bring a fresh set of story missions, side missions, and three new spider suits. Silver Linings, the third DLC, is set to release sometime in December.
Have we seen the three new spider suits?
We have.
Is one of them the symbiote suit?
Nope.
Then I don't care.
We are getting the Iron Spider suit from the comics, though, which is pretty cool.
Still don't care. Got to be the symbiote suit or nothing.
Well, we'll see if we get it in Silver Linings. The next patch for Overwatch is instituting some back-end and client changes that are significant enough that the game can't just patch it in. In fact, the next quote-unquote patch will require a full reinstall of the game. Overwatch clocks in at just over 10 gigs, so it's not the end of the world, but it does kind of set an interesting precedent. Before this, has anyone ever heard of a game fully reinstalling?
Sometimes, really?
I mean, but I still, the entire game, I mean, I feel like this is just maybe a reinstall of the entire client. Or, the entire game just seems, it seems superfluous to do that for just back-end stuff and not change anything in the game itself. So I'm not entirely sure if this is the right language they've used or if there's just, you know, somebody was just lazy when typing up the release.
Okay, fair enough. That's all for the Checkpoint Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. While our show is dedicated to esports and video gaming, there's no doubt that we're rooted in geek culture. It's with great sadness that we have to mark the passing of Stan Lee, who died this week at the age of 95.
Oh, man.
So this is tough.
Yeah.
Obviously,
he was like everyone's. He was like all the nerds' grandpas.
Cool, yeah. Cool granddad.
Yeah.
Everyone had Grandpa Stan at this point.
Yeah.
I've said there's only a couple people who like it will really affect me when they pass. Like one of them was Robin Williams. Stan Lee now marks number two. The other one for me is Bob Barker. When Bob Barker died,
really?
I grew up every day watching Price Is Right with my mom.
This is why I'm not. I mean, obviously, yes, it's sad, but I mean, I got over it pretty quick because 95. Like the guy lived a hell of a life, dude. He had an epic life,
and the thing is that you know he was such a treasure to. You know, the convention and the comic book industry that, you know, his sunset years were really interesting years, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that dude had any regrets.
No. And I mean, you look at just the last 15 years of what Marvel has been able to do just by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for him, maybe this was just like being able to see like this dream of his come to total fruition.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, it took 95 damn years, but still.
But a lot of people don't get to see their vision play out like that.
Exactly. Very
you know,
true.
Like, there was a series of comics, comic panels that I read about Stan Lee's passing the other day. And I forget who was talking about their experience with Stan Lee. But they had said, you know, when Spider-Man was being made and they had showed it off, like, to a private screening of Stan Lee and this other guy who was talking, that, you know, Stan just kind of like sat around and told stories about how he had struggled to try to meet this vision of having Spider-Man on the silver screen and how emotional it was for him to see that and how moved he was by it.
Yeah.
You know, it is very incredible to be able to see your creations kind of come to life in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he got to see the best part of the MCU evolve and take place.
I would have loved for him to have gotten to see Avengers 4.
Yes.
And to finally see that story arc close out. That would have been great for him to see.
Speaking of all of the different comics and tributes that have been going around social media and different websites and stuff like that, you know, there was another one that I saw that was Thanos talking to Stan's grave, and it was like, it was supposed to be half of the universe, not all of the universe.
Oh,
wow.
That's brutal.
Yeah. Right in the heart, in the feels. Ugh.
And I mean, as we've seen over the past 10, 15 years especially, we've seen geek culture kind of become the norm and become more accepted.
Mainstream, yeah.
Become more mainstream. And I mean, there's few people that you could point to that, you know, had less of an influence on that than someone like Stan Lee.
I mean,
but think about it
right now. You have Stan Lee, who was, through his creations, able to create a genre of film onto itself. Superhero film is now up there as its own thing.
Right.
And it has to be recognized and judged on its own merit. That doesn't happen without Stan Lee. So RIP to the main man.
Absolutely. Listen, we want to hear from you. Share your favorite Stan Lee memories, comics, or memorials with us. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook, Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on the gram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, we'll check out an interview with Josh Watson, esports operations manager for Psyonix. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, over the weekend, Joe got to travel out to Las Vegas to check out the Rocket League Championship Series. We'll hear more about it ahead next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. Is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Hey, are you a college student with some sick Overwatch skills? Then you should check out the 2018 Boston Uprising Collegiate Cup. This event will showcase local New England schools and their Overwatch players looking to display skills against other top teams for a chance to win a trip to the Blizzard Arena in Burbank, California, to watch the Boston Uprising compete. The tournament will begin with the online qualifiers November 16th and 17th and end on December 8th with a live event that will feature a 6-on-6 clash between the final four teams at Laugh Boston. Eligible teams must be comprised of college students at a college or university located in New England. Teams are encouraged to register as soon as possible, as participation will be limited. To register for the Boston Uprising Collegiate Cup, visit the link that we've shared out on our Twitter. Find us at Checkpoint XP. Over the weekend, Joe got to head out to Las Vegas to check out the Rocket League action at RLCS. Now, over the summer, we all got to check out the Rocket League Universal Open. So, Joe, I have to know, what was the difference between the RLCS as compared to the Universal Open?
Like, you can't even compare the two, right? So we're at the Orleans Arena, and it is, I mean, I'm not gonna like sit here and lie to you and say it was full, but it wouldn't matter. Like, it was probably 70-80% full on Saturday and Sunday, and the crowd was passionate and loud and noisy. And Nate, it was all the things that you were kind of hoping for when you were at the Universal Open, when you were kind of like, man, it's weird without not having any crowd noise.
Yeah, that was one of the weird things about that event. You know, it was a much more private event, you know, open to media, streamed online, of course, but not a live audience.
Right.
So when we did get the opportunity to go in there and watch live, it was sort of like we had to be very quiet, very muted, and very hard to do when you're watching something as exciting as Rocket League. And that made it, I think, more difficult to enjoy. So obviously the RLCS is in front of an audience. So how did that change the dynamic?
You got to see the idea of home field advantage, right? Everyone was expecting Europe to kind of run away with this, and at first it certainly looked like that was going to be the case. North America, all four of their teams were in the loser's bracket by the end of day one.
And on top of that, Dignitas still didn't drop a game.
No,
until the grand finals.
Yeah, Dignitas had not lost a series actually since last year. They were 17-0 going into the grand finals.
No kidding.
Yeah, Dignitas was super impressive. And really, the Oceanic region showed up to play too. And by the way, the crowd there got super behind the Oceanic region.
Okay, so let me just break this down, because Rocket League is basically car soccer. And the thing is that watching it, you know, on Twitch live, it was really cool because there was that whole soccer chant.
Oh, yeah.
Mentality going on where, like, a player would do something cool and they chant that player's name, and then there are songs for, like, every team.
Wow.
So it's really, really cool. And, like, you can hear the European songs and the North American songs, the Oceanic songs. It was really, really cool to see that atmosphere brought to esports.
I really have to give it to Rocket League, because it's not a game that I've ever wanted to actually play, but every time that I watch it, I can't help but get so sucked into it. And I have to imagine that it's because it has sort of like that traditional sports aspect from the soccer half of it that sort of, you know, pulls you in. It's amazing.
Well, that's where I started to really get into the 3v3 play. Obviously, with a Universal Open, it was 2v2, and you got a lot more like of the highlight reel moments, like a lot more flashy plays. But you almost got so many of them that you're like, it's not really special when everyone can do it. So over the weekend, I think I saw maybe two of those kinds of moments, and one of them was Squishy Muffins, who made an unbelievable play. But because I hadn't seen it all weekend, when it did happen, it felt like an incredible moment.
Are you talking about that flip reset he did?
It was in an earlier match. He did a full like ceiling dribble and put it in from the top. It was awesome.
You can do that?
Yeah,
yes, you can.
He did. Getting to see it kind of work out like that was awesome. One of the things that we got to talk with C9 afterwards, we got to do the interview afterwards, and we got to ask them, because people were saying because Cloud9 played so much, they were put in the loser's bracket immediately and had to play all the way back up into it. They were asked, did getting to sit there and like play constantly help you?
I think, honestly, that helped us a lot.
Yeah, I think we
came, the first three games of the first series were pretty much blowouts. I think that was the big factor. They started picking it up, during the second series. But yeah, I think that actually gave us a lot of momentum, and we had so much, we were so warmed up, and we were honestly just feeling the best we've ever felt. It's just factored into you know, that all factored into the win.
You're listening to Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently talking about the Rocket League Championship Series that was held out in Vegas. Joe got to go reporting on the scene, and Cloud9 taking the tournament, continuing their absolutely monstrous year in esports this year. And yeah, that is so impressive. You know, I think I was initially really disappointed hearing that Cloud9 got knocked down to the loser's bracket so early.
Right away.
I think I kind of counted them out. Like, I was like, okay, well, they're done.
You weren't alone. They were starting. So on day one, there was a dueling chant. There was a beginning chant of NA is good again. And by the end of that day, it had switched to NA is bad again.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was kind of sad. But, I mean, going to the last day, everyone was just kind of like, well, maybe, you know, Cloud9 will take a game off of Dignitas. That'd be fun, right? And so
make it a competition,
right? Because Dignitas 17-0 in their last 17 games going into this. So we asked, you know, what's the mindset like?
It's a little intimidating, but I think I said this a little bit before, but it's basically like, you know, the fact that they're supposed to win kind of makes it a little less pressure on us. So we were really loose, and I don't think any of us were nervous. I definitely wasn't really nervous. I was honestly felt good, and I felt like I was just playing like at home, like in scrims or something.
Yeah, I mean,
it looked like they was playing at home at scrims or something.
It kind of did. They win the first series 4-1. It's the first series Dignitas has lost in almost a year. Everyone's, you know, freaking out, losing their mind, and like this worry starts to settle in. Like, oh god. Now Dignitas is just going to turn it on, and, you know, we're going to get rolled after the bracket reset. And Cloud9 came out and continued to just play super strong. And one thing I have to talk about is what the crowd reaction was like. People were losing their mind in that stadium, and we actually got to ask them about it.
The crowd definitely helped us. I'd say we fed off the energy, and the support was crazy. I mean, the chants are always fun to hear.
So, I mean, nothing happens in a vacuum, and it's nice to know that esports competitors feed as much off of the crowd as any other sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I did get to ask Squishy and Gimmick and Torment if they were going to do anything fun with the $200,000 that they won.
And fun story. No, they're not. They're actually going to save it or invest it, which means that they're very smart individuals. But kind of boring as well.
A little bit. There was a
kids
player
nowadays.
I can't remember which player it was, because we asked all the teams that on the first day there, and one of them was like, I'd like a Corvette, so I'm probably going to get a Corvette.
That's the right answer.
He didn't just mean in-game, did he?
No, he wants an actual Corvette. I mean, that's a great answer.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Did you watch the RLCS? What did you think of Cloud9's dominant year this year? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and it's a little bit different for Instagram. It's Checkpoint _XP on the gram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, while Joe was out in Vegas for the RLCS, he got to sit down with the esports operations manager for Psyonix. And if you don't know, those are the makers of Rocket League. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1360 WSAI in Cincinnati, Ohio, as well as Talk Radio 1360 KKBJ in Bemidji, Minnesota. While attending the Rocket League Championship Series, Joe had the opportunity to sit down with Josh Watson. He's the esports operations manager for Psyonix, makers of Rocket League. So let's check out Joe's conversation with Josh Watson.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP. This is Joe Sloan. Joining me now is Josh Watson, esports operations manager for Psyonix. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing real good.
So, Josh, first I'd like to tell everyone a little bit about what you do and how you came to be with Psyonix.
Sure, yeah. So I've been with Psyonix for about 4 years now, before Rocket League launched. And for the company, I oversee all esports programs, from, you know, the highest level down to, you know, grassroots play.
So we're obviously here at the championships, the highest level of play. I've noticed that a lot of the teams, every match seems like it's going to either five games, going to overtime. It's very competitive. What is it about this year that makes everything so competitive?
I think the stakes are a little bit higher. You know, we doubled the prize pool this season, so I think a lot of the players are really starting to take it very, very seriously. They've put a lot of effort in, and I think it's starting to show.
We're seeing the overall meta of competitive play start to move a little bit. For the past few years, it's been very much about the high-skill players, the flashy plays, the individualism. We're moving away from that now more towards a team focus. What is causing that to happen?
Well, I think, you know, early on we had some, like, mechanical marvels, people like Cuxer, and then later on Squishy. They're, you know, these guys started to figure out techniques that other people hadn't mastered yet, and so that allowed them to kind of go uncontested more often than not. And I think now that skill gap is completely closed, and anyone out here can do these flashy, incredible plays. And so essentially what you're looking at is you have to kind of lean on your teammates, and you start to change the playing field when you start to pass across the field with extremely precise play. So I think it's just gotten to the point where everybody can do incredible things, and so now they're trying to do it together.
When you look at other esports, one of the things you see a lot of the time is one region tends to dominate. One region is very, very good, maybe two regions, but we're not seeing that so much here. Europe, North America, Oceania, all of them are very competitive. Why is that in Rocket League?
You know, I think over the years, if you'd ask our fan base, I'd say they'd probably say Europe is the dominant region. I think it's just because they've managed to take home the title more often than not. But I think this season everybody is just so motivated. I think everybody's been putting in the time, and it's really starting to show. I think you're right. We're at a point now where the players themselves, the teams themselves, are all so evenly matched that, you know, this is really a toss-up this year.
Obviously, when you talk about Rocket League, it's hard not to draw the comparison to soccer. Is that one of the reasons you think maybe Europe takes so strongly to Rocket League as those comparisons?
You know, I think early on it was sort of a mentality thing. I think a lot of the players in Europe immediately started taking it extremely seriously. They were practicing very, very hard, constantly scrimming each other. And some of the players in North America just were having, you know, it was really more about just having fun. Now I think everybody's starting to really take it seriously, and they're putting in tons and tons of time and developing as a team. And so, you know, I think probably early on it might have just been a mentality thing. I think overall there's been a shift from all of our players, and it's just gotten incredibly competitive.
You're listening to Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. I'm currently sitting with Josh Watson, Esports Operation Manager for Psyonix. So, Josh, one of the things that we see when people talk about Rocket League is it's a very accessible esport. Everyone can kind of look at Rocket League and understand the idea. What is it about this game that makes it so accessible to just even the casual fan?
Yeah, I think it's how closely aligned to something like football, soccer it is. You know, it's a ball and a couple of goals, and I think most people have been conditioned to be able to kind of parse what's going on in the game. So, you know, just at its base level, I think that's just really easy to understand. And then, you know, then there's some of the things like format of the game. We're talking about 5-minute games. It's very digestible. It's really action-packed. It's always fast. There's no stop and go, except when those goals go off. So I think, honestly, it's just action, 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 and then it's, you know, really satisfying goals.
Yeah, the value of having your game played in you know, 5-minute chunks. We saw the Rocket League Universal Open, which was 2v2 instead of 3v3, and that game felt much more like where the high-skilled players could really shine through because the field's less cluttered. What is it about the 3v3 play, even though it's maybe a little less action-packed, people seem to respect the 3v3 format more?
Yeah, I think, you know, we call 3v3 standard in-game for a reason. I think the gameplay was, you know, the developers did a great job of balancing the game around that gameplay. And over time, I think that's where the highest level of competitive play, they spent the most time playing that. I think you're right. When you look at doubles, there's a lot more space on the field, so you get to see some of these, you know, wild mechanical plays. But I think 3v3 really, really rewards perfect team play and communication. And I think that's why a lot of the fans really enjoy it.
One thing I've been hearing from players here and fans here is moving forward, because these regions are so balanced, the idea of maybe adding in a groups play stage is something you see in other esports. Is Rocket League, could that be something that happens in the future for Rocket League?
Oh, I think it's certainly on the table. I know, you know, we've already announced that we're going to be bringing in another region in South America next year. So I think when we look at bringing in more players, those types of group stages are become more and more appealing, you know, especially when you're looking at a 3-day event. You don't want to have fans necessarily in the stands for 10 hours a day or something, right? So, you know, it's definitely an option.
One thing I know a lot of our listeners would like to see are more of the live events that we get for Rocket League. With having a live audience, it really does make the difference. Do you think Rocket League could benefit from being able to have more LAN events? Is that something that's even possible given how, you know, spread out the various regions are?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we agree with you. Rocket League is really an experience, and when you experience with other people, it just takes it to a whole new level. So, yeah, I think that's definitely on the horizon.
We've seen many other esports start moving into the franchise model, into different things like that. Rocket League uses the relegation model still. Does that just make more sense for the way Rocket League esports is set up?
I think, you know, it's easy to kind of look at the overall esports landscape, and everyone's kind of doing their own thing, and it's easy to start to say, does this work here? Does what work for another game work for Rocket League? For us at this point, I think at the age of the esport, the promotion relegation system, it is fitting our sport really, really well. As we look at the future and what that might hold, I think we have to look at every option within the ecosystem and say, you know, what are the things that work for X game that might work for Rocket League, and try to find the best system. So it's definitely something that we're, you know, considering, you know, as we move forward, moving away from that promotion relegation system. But for now, it really fits the game well.
Final question. Do you have a message out there for the Rocket League esports fans who follow our show? What can they look forward to in the coming years for Rocket League?
Just, you know, lots more of the same kind of exciting gameplay, fantastic plays, fantastic players. And, you know, if you are a fan, thanks so much for all the support.
Josh Watson, esports operation manager for Psyonix, has been our guest here today. Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks again to Josh Watson for his time, as well as to Psyonix for having us out there to cover the Rocket League Championship Series. That's going to be it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp for Checkpoint XP Daily. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.